and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website, check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller, actor and activist Tim Robbins on the Celebrity Hotline.
That's
next
right.
Hour, whom we know.
Whom I went to college with.
Exactly.
With whom I went to college, I should say.
Exactly. Representative Keith Ellison, Democrat of the great state of Minnesota, in hour number three on the Celebrity Hotline.
So I could sound like someone who actually went to college, you know.
So it was you, Tim Robbins, and Daphne Zuniga.
Yes. I'm trying to think if there's anyone else famous from my class. I'm sure it'll occur to me.
Bert Convy's son was in my college class.
Hey, how about that?
Yeah. Wow. This hour of the Stephanie Miller...
I auditioned with Bert Convy's daughter for a commercial once.
Okay.
Isn't that exciting?
We're actually on the air now. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Patriot Majority. Patriot Majority believes it is our patriotic duty as Americans to pass health care reform now with a strong public option.
Actually, Tim Robbins got me an audition for a movie directed by Bert Convy, now that I think of it. So it's like intersecting celebrity stuff.
Thank you for playing One Degree of Bert Convy Separation.
Bert Convy right. Was a director?
Apparently. Well, I think the movie never got made.
Will the show just consist of a series of brain farts on all of our parts? Or will we actually...
Bert Convy brain farts. Even worse. Oh, God.
Whop. Okay, let's get on with the show, shall we? My goodness, from more fear-mongering on healthcare from the right wing, like Sean Hannity.
This is the type of thing that we do see with countries that have socialized medicine. For example, they put a price on the years of productivity and how much they'll spend on healthcare in Europe. So this should be a real concern for people as we debate this.
Blah, 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 blah. Oh, and by the way, from fear-mongering on prosecuting the torture tools from Bill O'Reilly, they will kill you.
If you do this, Holder, no foreign country is going to cooperate with the United States in intel gathering because they don't want to be dragged into any scandal. So we're going to lose all intel drying up around the world. And you might be killed because of it.
Wow. That wasn't too blatant fear-mongering, was it?
Bill O'Reilly,
you
foreign policy expert.
Will be killed.
Yes.
By virtue of us standing up against torture. You will be killed. All right. There didn't even seem to be any wiggle room in that.
No.
Not you might be.
No.
But you will be killed.
Yeah.
All right, then.
I dare say he was a bit screechy there.
Wow. And then, apparently, Chris, the president's vacation in itself is going to humanize homosexuals because it's near a gay place, near a gay guy place.
Thing. Well, about 10 miles down from the Obama compound is a place called Gay Head Bluffs. So we wandered down to the beach underneath the bluffs, and it turned out it was a nude beach.
Oh, my God. That
humanizes homosexuals.
It's not a gay beach.
It just sounds gay. It's called Gay Head Beach,
nude.
And it's near...
It's called Gay Head.
Okay. And it's near where the president...
Need I say more?
The president's vacation, clearly gay and French.
And nude.
That was Bill O'Reilly's ambush producer, Jesse Waters.
Yeah.
Yes, he ambushed a bunch of naked people on Gay Head Beach.
Yeah, I'm sure it was for journalistic purposes.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
That's hard-hitting journalism right there.
Ironic, too, since Bill O'Reilly's such a fan of Straight Head Beach, if you know what I'm referring to.
Get my pipe up.
Exactly. See smoking gun transcript of phone sex.
Uh-huh. Say, baby, put down that pipe and get my pipe up.
Okay. You know, pardon me, it's August, and that means I'm wee-weed up, as you know. The president said everybody's getting all wee-weed up.
Yeah.
I was the first one that asked, what the hell did he mean by getting wee-weed up? The White House has explained.
What is wee-weed up?
I don't know if I should do that from the podium.
Oh, how disgusting.
Robert Gibbs, he said, let's do this in a way that's family-friendly. I think wee-weed up is when people get all nervous for no particular reason. Bedwetting.
Wee-weed up. There's something about August going into September. Everybody in Washington gets all wee-weed up.
Are you upset because you went wee-wee on the carpet?
Wee-weed up.
Did you pee in here?
Everybody my age pees their pants. It's the coolest.
It's going in the lexicon now.
That's what talk radio is all about, getting wee-weed up.
Yeah.
Wee-weed up.
Congratulations. How do you feel?
I got it paid.
Thank you, listener Ken in Cleveland. Eric in Ohio writes, hey, Steph, the revelation that Martha's Vineyard isn't part of the United States is great news.
Oh.
Someone on Fox News yesterday said it's not really American.
Right.
Like Florida or Michigan or...
Whatever.
It means that Mitt Romney isn't eligible to run for president in 2012. Romney says he was born in Michigan, but has anyone seen his birth certificate? Hmm. What's he trying to hide? All he has to do is produce his birth certificate and everyone will be satisfied. Or as Tom DeLay says, his...
ask the president to show me his gift certificate?
I'm starting to warm up to him again. He's like the Foster Brooks of the political scene these days.
I miss
Foster Brooks. He's just, he is Drunky McPuke Shoes. I don't know, it's just that same sort of,
If conservatives don't stand up to liberalism, no one will.
What's harder to pronounce technically, Jim? The senior senator from Texas, KBLS?
Or David Hutchinson, senator from Texas.
Or the liberal.
Liberalism. Librium.
Oh, that's right.
Lori in Omaha, Nebraska, could you take your organ out for me, Chris? Thank you. Hi, Steph. Thought you might enjoy these images I've created for T-shirts, stickers, etc. And Jesus said unto the sick, hast thou changed providers since thou camest before me last? And Jesus said unto the sick, blessed are the insured, for they alone shall receive health care.
Yeah.
And her last T-shirt, and Jesus said unto the sick, yea, thou must first provide me with thine insurance card that I may copy it on both sides. Glory in Omaha, Nebraska.
Don't you even got the tenses right. Jacobean English.
I belong to the Church of Maxine Waters out here in Los Angeles.
Yes, you do.
Mm-hmm. Ken Brown, the official black rocket scientist of the Stephanie Miller Show, dinged.
Hmm. Oh, wow.
Sends us this ain't nothing
you saw.
Are the
rockets black or is he black? That's confusing.
He apparently is black.
Yeah, he doesn't practice the black sciences.
I don't think there's a science that specializes in only black rockets, but we can ask him. Okay. He sends along one of them there healthcare town hall stories you don't see on the Fox News. Maxine Waters, did you see this one? Nobody clashed at a town hall meeting hosted by Democrat Maxine Waters this past Saturday. Instead, more than 400 people who attended near Inglewood applauded, chanted, and gave standing ovations during Waters' presentation, which lasted far longer than the 2 hours it was scheduled for. And I know because I've had to follow a Maxine Waters speech, and that was not pretty. Waters said she had a theory why the tense atmosphere of other meetings was absent. I sent them a message, she said. Don't try that with Maxine Waters.
That's right.
That's funny.
She made a couple of very good points. Why would any member of Congress, especially those of us who are grandmothers, want to pull the plug on grandma? Thank you. Good point. Many in the crowd were expecting a agitated group of opponents. Instead, just one man, that's very sad, stood outside the hall wearing a Halloween mask and a hood.
Ooh.
He silently held a handmade sign over his head. Disease, yes. Medical reform, no. Satan.
What?
That's the most incoherent right-wing blather I've heard.
I don't even know what that means, exactly.
Complete
disease,
dribble.
Disease, yes. Medical reform, no. Satan.
Unless it was performance art and he was mocking the right-wingers and they didn't even know it.
Oh.
I don't think that's possible.
Could be.
No. Computer says no.
All right, let's check some entertainment news, shall we, kids? Here we go.
There's no business like show business.
It's time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Thank you very much. Our top story, Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt to spend $45 million on a French chateau.
Wow. But the story said chateau, plural.
Plural with the X in it. They thought they were being fancy by putting the X on there. That means more than one of them.
In Provence. The couple hope to transform the $35 million 17th century chateau into their dream home. Yeah, you can't buy as is. It can't be a dream home at $35 million.
No.
You need to spend some money to spruce that up. The property, which is surrounded by a moat. Oh, why can't I have a moat?
You have a moat.
I got to get a moat.
You have a moat.
Comes with its own vineyard. Oh, my dream
Perfect.
Property. A moat and
a vineyard. Why don't you remove the bridle path and put in a vineyard?
Swimming pool and a 3-mile-long driveway. Oh, dear.
Wow.
Because I can't, I couldn't.
Computer says no.
Because I, you know what, I look worse than Tony Soprano going down the driveway to get the paper. That would be way too long on my hangover.
It would also keep boy band at arm's length.
All right.
In your house coat and your curlers.
Who do we have? We have Brad.
Cigarette dangling out of your mouth. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Whoa. What a crib this place is going to be. It was going to be really bitching, what with all the add-ons and stuff, especially all the goodies like my wine cellar and my motorcycle track. Man, I was finally going to have all these grown-up things to do and have my own playroom and stuff and pretend that I'm a man, you know what I mean? Yeah, right. I knew I should have been in on the meeting with Angelina and the architect.
Sounds like a show.
Angelina, yeah. The architect. Maybe I would have, like, cut on to the fact that out of the 35 bedrooms, 32 of them are going to be nurseries. I mean, WTF. And then I find out all the cubbies in the wine cellar were going to be the size of baby bottles. And then I find out my damn bike track is being routed all around the nursery so I can do the 2 a.m. feeding inside an hour. So guess what? I'm going to be the head drone in an ant colony while Angelina swells up with eggs and pumps out larvae till the end of time. What in my life led me to this? I mean, can you really power an entire mansion by vaporizing disposable diapers? Please, God, take me away from this breeding nightmare. Somebody help me. Somebody please help me.
And finally, speaking of entertainment, on the FoxNews.com, a man who used a public toilet in a shopping mall was taken to a hospital to have the toilet seat removed from his backside after someone smeared it with glue in what an official condemned Monday. That's a sick joke. We have. Who do we have?
The Cairns, Australia Police Department Chief.
Yes, that guy.
G'day. I have some terrible news to report. Normally, a fair city is a decent place to raise kids, good schools, friendly people, and until now, a place with very little crime. Where neighbours watch out for each other, and you can leave your doors unlocked at any hour of the day. Sadly, this is no longer the case. A heinous crime is being committed, the depravity of which has forever altered the nature of this place we call home. A 58-year-old gentleman who shall remain anonymous to preserve what's left of his dignity, although his real name is Dick Johnson, I kid you not, who resides at 457 Hyde Street. It seems Mr. Johnson was at the shopping mall when he felt compelled to answer the call of nature. There he was, tending to his business, and having relieved himself, was about to stand up when he realised that some hooligans had put crazy glue on the seat, making it impossible for him to extricate himself without ripping the skin from his bum.
Oh.
Stop laughing! Stop it. It's a very serious crime. So poor Mr. Dick Johnson. Stop it. I mean it. Mr. Johnson's wails of distress were heard throughout the mall, causing crowds of people of both genders and all ages to crowd into the gents to laugh at his predicament and, of course, take pictures with the camera phones, some of which you can see here projected on the screen. And in his extreme humiliation, you can see his predicament has shrunk to a tiny nubbin. Stop. This is very serious business. Oh, here's a good one. You can get a good view of his twig and berries and brown growler at the same time. Stop at this instant. It was a very sick joke. It's disgusting that this poor gentleman had to be humiliated in this manner. Oh, here's a good one. As they're loading him into the ambulance, he falls off the gurney and racks himself on the trailer hitch. He's on the ground screaming and holding his testicles with a toilet seat glued to his ass. Somebody called Bob Saget. I think I wet myself.
That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward, Paul Rawl.
Call? What?
Call?
No.
What?
Huh? No. Don't call him.
Call now. Jim Ward's apocryphal but true. I'm tired. When's vacation?
Starts Friday.
Thailand. StephanieMiller.com. Go there. Buy the album.
Thank you. Call now to get 6 free minutes. And while supplies last, this Brazilian power crystal absolutely free.
We're fresh out of Brazilian power crystals.
Yeah. No more crystals.
Can you get a Grady?
Yeah.
A slap chop,
whatever.
20 minutes after the hour. You may have heard the breaking Michael Jackson news, but you haven't heard the details. So we'll tell you next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh my God, that's like my favorite show ever.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 25 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Later on the show, I will read my Republican brother's chain email about how Social Security is a socialist pyramid scheme.
Mm-hmm. And what does your mom feel about that?
Your mom being on Social Security and all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We won't be sharing the private family information I shared during the commercial break, which makes it even more hilarious.
That's funny!
Extremism in defense of capitalism is no vice.
Okay. Thank goodness for Social Security is all I want to say. Kelly in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on Mike Huckabee. Hello, Kelly.
Hey, unfortunately, I'm not actually on Mike Huckabee. Too much at this hour of the morning. Hey, I was down
that,
here.
That would make you a Huck Pack.
Yeah.
Ooh.
All right, go ahead.
I had a comeback, and I'm going to leave it alone. You have to beat me.
All right.
I'm out here. I'm here to. I've always wanted to see a space shuttle. I've always wanted to see a launch from Cape Canaveral down here since I was like six. So I finally come down. This happens to be the one that they're sending up the Colbert treadmill on.
That's right.
Yes, honest to God, it's in all the literature, and I'm trying to find it in here. Oh, yes, it is the Combined Operational Load-Bearing External Resistance Treadmill.
Wow.
Or Colbert.
That's great. All right, Kelly, thank you. All right.
And it has a logo with Stephen Colbert's face on
great.
It.
Great. Hilarious. Yeah. He should use it on the show. Maybe he has already.
Can we give me a Steffi Stairmaster or
whatever
something?
No. I think you need gravity for a Stairmaster.
Stairmaster.
Exactly. All right. That sounds like the Spankmaster that I used to use on you, Jim.
Yeah.
All right. The breaking news, in case you have not heard, the coroner has ruled Michael Jackson's death a homicide.
Yep.
Woo! That doctor better be lawyering up. Yikes. Did you hear the details of this?
Oof.
I thought I had a bad insomnia problem. Holy moly. Mm. The coroner's office found lethal levels of the anesthetic propofol in Michael Jackson's body after he died. That you're only supposed to use that, you know, in a hospital.
Yeah.
For anesthesia. The doctor, Conrad Murray, admitted to LAPD that he had been treating Jackson for insomnia with propofol every night for 6 weeks. That's like having surgery every day for 6 weeks.
Wow.
On the day he died, June 25th, Murray gave Jackson a number of sedatives. When none worked, he then gave him the propofol. Wow, this is God's way of telling you you have too much money when you can afford a live-in doctor to give you anesthesia every night.
Yeah.
Wow. On the morning he died, Murray gave Jackson Valium at 1:30 a.m. When that didn't work, he injected lorazepam intravenously at 2 a.m. At 3 a.m., he gave the still-awake singer Midel Zolam. He continued to try different drugs over the course of the morning. At 10:40 a.m., Murray then gave the propofol, and after Jackson repeatedly demanded the drug, prior court records show that Murray told detectives he then left Jackson alone to make personal phone calls. And when that's illegal. You're not allowed to. You have to monitor.
Doctor, you should probably be in charge of the medications. And just because someone demands it doesn't mean they should get it.
That's why the doctor is culpable in this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, 28 minutes after the hour, back with more Celebrity Stack and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I can't even get through that thought. I am hung to the over.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, it's right wing Scott in Massachusetts. Isn't that exciting?
Oh, no.
Wow.
Good morning, Ms. Miller.
Good morning, Scott.
How are you?
You want to say that the Obama administration is a Zionist.
What I'd like to say is America's been destroyed because of our Zionist-occupied government, or ZOG. There's three categories.
Oh, we're a ZOG.
ZOG is the Zionist-occupied government.
Did you just make that up?
See, no. It's
this would
true.
Startle the people that had a picture of the president on a Yasser Arafat.
Yeah.
The American Israel Public
picture
Affairs
on a healthcare town hall poster.
No, he's right about AIPAC, though.
The American Israel Public Affairs Committee, AIPAC, and other powerful Jewish and Zionist groups have hijacked U.S. foreign policy.
Mm-hmm.
Well.
These international Jewish Zionists have a stranglehold on our Zionist occupied government.
Okay.
But it doesn't end there.
All right.
Chris, damn it. What did I tell you about fixing that line?
AIPAC is sort of a right-leaning organization.
Yes, they are.
They've done some said some pretty nasty things. But I don't buy the whole Zionist-occupied government.
Zog.
It's interesting, though, that a right-winger complaining about right-wingers, though. That's kind of a...
You know, yesterday you were called a Jew-hater for your Joe Lieberman bit.
Because Yiddish is funny.
Yes.
Mel Brooks based his career on it.
Here's your opportunity to double down. Alec Baldwin passing on a challenge to Joe Lieberman.
Darn it. Oh, shucky darn.
Damn it. Love me some Alec Baldwin. His spokesman said the 30 Rock star wants Lieberman to stay in office because there are so few moderate Republicans in the Senate. What? No! On CNN's State of the Union Sunday, Lieberman said he respects Baldwin as an actor but dared him to make my day with a Senate challenge. Come on, Alex. Come on, Alex. Come on! Do it! Do it!
I think I like him better on 30 Rock. I want him to stay on 30 Rock. He's funny on 30 Rock.
Can you both?
That was the celebrity bad news. The celebrity good news? Cindy Crawford says she has cellulite.
Well, she's also, like, what, 60? About your age?
Listen, you don't understand what a day it is in America, the day the National Enquirer celebrity cellulite issue comes out. For us gals everywhere.
Just wait till you're in it.
Yeah. I give it 20 minutes.
Yeah, pictures of you frolicking in a bikini on a beach.
Uh-huh. You will never see that.
No?
All right.
You don't wear bikinis.
No.
No?
No.
Oh, you should. You have a fantastic body.
No, I wear,
body.
Oh, thank you. That's very sweet. I wear that grandma
suit. It's 1920s.
Yeah. I wear, it's not one piece or two pieces. It's like three pieces. It has like a skirt and like you could do a puppet show down there.
And it shows a little ankle. Ooh, little, you're getting risque.
and a bathing cap with the rubber flowers on it.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
I am a looker.
You might even pass in Islamic countries with that getup.
Yeah, so. I don't have good body image.
You're okay.
The only time I've ever seen you swim, you've jumped into the pool fully clothed. Come to think of it.
That's the thing. Enough Chardonnay. You don't need any bathing suit. You don't want to. You just dispense with that step altogether.
Okay.
All right. You know, I was just in the New York City.
Yes.
And this is the kind of Times Square I remember when I lived there back in the early 90s. I like my Times Square filthy and dirty and good porn showing there.
Now Disney's taking it over and it's peh.
Yes. A man dressed as... Exactly.
The Muppets have taken over.
I like the films that used to play there. You know, the Little Spermaid,
mm-hmm.
Pocahontas.
Mm-hmm.
A man dressed as the Sesame Street character Elmo was rude to tourists when they tried to photograph him. The newspaper reported.
Oh, don't you freaking try to tickle me.
Please, we've had rude Elmo outside of Grauman's Chinese Theater for years here in Hollywood.
The newspaper reported the character surly and dirty. Swore and jostled people who wouldn't give him money when they tried to photograph him on Saturday. No picture. You have to tip Elmo. You have to tip Elmo or Elmo gets angry, the Elmo impersonator said, placing his paw over a tourist's camera lens.
Yeah.
Hey, Bert, Ernie, Beaker, guys, beat the crap out of this guy. Take his watch.
The Elmo imposter tried to take a Daily News photographer's camera, but then apologized. Look, man, Elmo needs to make a living, too.
The costume characters outside of the Chinese theater are just as surly.
All the time.
They do. Yeah. They get in fist fights with each other. It's really a disgrace.
Well, listen, if I had to wear a giant costume for a living, I'd have an anger management problem, too.
Well, I think you'd find a different line of work.
All right.
Plus, you're so thin, you'd disappear. You'd sweat your entire body weight away in about 20 minutes.
All right. Wow, you don't see this headline every day. A man with a tattoo of Britney Spears' name on his arm or neck allegedly stole a chihuahua with pink earrings from a South Florida gay bar.
Wow. I think that's the headline
of the
year.
That cannot be hard to find that, can it? Brian Dortort.
Dortort?
Said,
that's even better.
Yeah, said he had spent weeks searching for his four-month-old pooch named... named Hudson Hayward Hemingway, which is almost as gay a pet name as Sassy Ward.
Yeah.
Jimmy's cat.
I did not name her. I adopted her from a neighbor. It's not my fault.
Okay, Sassy Ward here.
Sassy Ward? Sassy Ward next.
Hudson Hayward Hemingway, who wears pink earrings. Okay, the dog, about the size of a softball, was in a specialty pet bag. Dortort said he let a man hold the chihuahua for a moment during a friend's birthday party, and then both of them disappeared.
Oh.
Just like that. It cannot be hard to find a chihuahua with pink earrings. And so
being held by a man with a Britney Spears tattoo.
I better know who stole it.
You people, just leave her alone. Leave Britney alone. You're lucky she performed.
Leave her alone. You're lucky she even performed for you bastards.
And I'm taking your chihuahua.
Okay. That concludes our Raw Celebrity Stack. Wow, in other gay stack news, you know that Utah State Senator Butters? His name is
Senator
Butters.
Senator Butters.
His name is Butters.
Wrong cartoon, but that's...
Yeah.
Earlier this year, you may recall, Utah State Senator Chris Butters, a Republican, oddly.
Oh, dear.
Was kicked out of the State Judiciary Committee after a hateful rant in which he called homosexuality a perversion and compared gay people to alcoholics and terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably the greatest threat to America going down, I know of.
Oh, dear. Oh, he's the guy with the chihuahua. That's the guy who took the chihuahua.
Has he been spotted with a chihuahua?
He's overcompensating.
I just hate those games. There's, oh, nice chihuahua. Like
this time, it's fitting he's making news again, Butters.
Butters.
This time, for saying that homosexuals don't really face discrimination.
I see.
And doesn't believe sexual orientation should be a protected class. So if Salt Lake City passes an anti-discrimination ordinance that would apply to sexual orientation, he plans to respond from the state capitol. He said, I don't believe the discrimination they scream about is really real. Like, I'm watching that to see what they try to do, and if they keep pushing it, then I will bring a bill about it.
You mean like not being able to get married?
Yeah, that's crazy that kind of stuff like that. Yeah. Yeah, but they can't get opposite married or what,
right.
Ever.
They can't, like, you know, fired from their job for being gay.
Okay.
That sort of thing.
Oh, right. Meanwhile, Lutherans allow sexually active gays as clergy.
Hooray!
The nation's largest Lutheran denomination took the openly gay clergy more fully into its fold Friday as leaders of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America voted to lift a ban that prohibited sexually active gays and lesbians from serving as ministers.
I'm waiting for that to be in David and Goliath. I don't think that would have...
Davey.
Yes. No, Davey, only men can be. Pastors.
That was a Lutheran cartoon,
yes,
wasn't it?
Yes,
it really was. Yes.
Sponsored it.
Meanwhile, another story about how the White House is taking...
It wasn't a cartoon, it was a claymation.
Right.
Yeah.
Taking baby steps. Little Tom DeLay steps on gay rights. The Justice Department clarified a legal brief defending DOMA last week, the statute that defines marriages between the man and the woman, asking for the law to be repealed. In addition, the hire of a prominent gay rights advisor on President Obama's campaign at the Department of Civil Rights Office was reported, and the president awarded prominent gay activists medals of freedom, even saying Billie Jean King was a role model for his daughters.
Huh.
The small steps follow the outcry from the gay community over hesitation on Don't Ask, Don't Tell and other issues, and, you know.
Whatever.
I suppose we'll take some steps.
No.
Is it half a gay loaf? Like we might get half a loaf of health care reform? I'm a full loaf kind of gal. All right, we will be back with what kind of loaf we think we might get on health care. 42 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
So, who is responsible for these outrages?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 46 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Tommy has written us with, oh, can I have some of my, what did we do for the educational film thing? This is this day in Truman history, just to give us a little perspective on healthcare and the people that say we're rushing it.
Okay.
On November 19th, 1945, only 7 months into his presidency, Harry Truman sent a presidential message to the United States Congress proposing a new national healthcare program.
I figured we just won World War II. Why not fix healthcare in this country?
President Truman called for the creation of a national health insurance fund to be run by the federal government. This fund would be open to all Americans, but would remain optional. President Truman's health proposals finally came to Congress in the form of a Social Security expansion bill. The American Medical Association launched a spirited attack against the bill, capitalizing on fears of communism in the public mind. The AMA characterized the bill as socialized medicine. In a forerunner to the rhetoric of the McCarthy era, called Truman White House staffers followers of the Moscow Party Line.
Oh, God. So yeah, it's too soon to start working. It's only been 64 years, so, you know,
yeah.
Slow down.
We got to talk about this some more. So the next time a Joe Lieberman, a Chuck Grassley, or a Max Baucus talks about taking our time or waiting till the recession is over, tell them to... Okay, you don't want to know what Tommy wants them to do. And quit protecting the insurance companies. It has been 64 years, and the lies, the stalling, and the rhetoric on the right hasn't changed one bit. Oh, I'm sorry, Joe Lieberman. What's that you say? We need to slow down. There's a recession going on.
We morally, every one of us would like to cover every American with health insurance.
But we're not
but
going
that's
to.
Where you spend most of the $1 trillion plus or a little less that is estimated. The estimate said this health care plan will cost.
Okay.
And I'm afraid we've got to think about putting a lot of that off. Until the economy's out of recession. Sure. There's no reason we have to do it all now, but we do have to get started.
No, we need a lot of people to die first. Just do it when we can afford to. Just need a few hundred thousand, maybe a million dead, tops, depending on the breaks. But, you know, it's too soon. We can't really...
Why does anyone listen to Chuck Grassley, by the way? Did you see him...
Schmuck Astley?
Yes, Schmuck Astley. Wow. He acknowledged on Sunday that the claims he made just 2 weeks ago that the Democratic health care legislation would have allowed the government to pull a blind on grandma did not reflect the language of any of the bills.
Oh.
Oops. Oh, did I?
Might have mentioned that at the time.
Yeah, it's his constituents' fault, apparently.
Oh, okay.
Jeez.
He says the current legislation now being considered by Congress doesn't include the infamous death panel provision that would allow the government to determine who should live or die. Oh. I know the Pelosi bill doesn't intend to do that, said Grassley. It won't do that, he added later. The Iowa Republican said he was merely trying to quell the concerns of constituents who had read about death panels on the Internet.
Well, you don't understand. They were going to lynch me if I didn't say that.
He was trying to quell their concerns by telling them, yes, that's true, the lie that you just read on the Internet. Uh-huh.
I'm a nervous people with pitchforks out there. I was really wetting myself. I was to save my own life. Sorry.
I was I love this. He blamed his constituents. I was responding to a question at town hall meetings. I let my constituents set the agenda. A person that asked me that question was reading from the language they got off the Internet. It scared my constituents. And then he goes on to say some more incomprehensible gobbledygook. Mm-hmm. And the specific language I used was language that the president had used at Portsmouth. What?
What the hell?
And I thought that if he used the language, then if I responded exactly the same way, that I had an opposite concern about not using end-of-life counseling for saving money, then I was answering and relieving the fears that my constituents had. What?
In other words, my God.
Lord, I'm a big weenie, and I'm terrified of my own constituents, and I have no leadership ability in any capacity.
I think he was afraid he was going to be lynched if he didn't say that.
He was terrified of his own constituents.
Sadly, he went on to say...
Oh, no.
I wanted to explain why my constituents are concerned about it, but I also wanted to say that there's an $8 billion cost with that issue, and if you're going to try to save money and you put $8 billion of doctors giving you some advice at the end of life, doctors are going to take advantage of earning the other $8 billion, and constituents see that as an opportunity to save some money. Adding that it just scares the devil out of the people, and that ought to be dropped.
You don't understand. I got a lot of white supremacist nut jobs of my constituents, and they're all heavily armed, and they scare me.
Wow.
So I'm going to say anything I can to avoid being lynched by my own people. I'm scared.
Seriously, what more evidence do we need that it is time to not include these people in the conversation anymore?
Right.
Did anything that he just said make sense?
No.
I was reading verbatim. And Michael Steele in a great big...
right-wing hypocrites!
Steele now criticizes cost savings in Medicare, but he wanted Medicare cuts on the table in 2006.
Oh, God, what a hypocrite!
Oh, my goodness. Gee, you don't think this is about, I don't know, scaring the seniors or anything, do ya?
Senior citizens right now are scared to death because they see the government coming into an area of their lives and trying to play in a way that they could get the short end of the stick.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're an idiot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In an attempt to harness the fears that many seniors have about health care reform, the RNC released a Seniors Health Care Bill of Rights today, in which it declares that Medicare should not be cut. Well, I believe the president has said repeatedly, we're not talking about cutting anybody's Medicare.
Michael Steele talked about that.
In a Washington Post op-ed, packed jammed full of lies, RNC Chairman Michael Steele expanded on that idea, saying President Obama and congressional Democrats are planning to raid, not aid, Medicare by cutting $500 billion from the program to fund his health care experiment. But Steele hasn't always believed Medicare should be sacrosanct when it comes to finding cost savings. Appearing on NBC's Meet the Press as a Senate candidate in 2006, Steele said the cuts to Medicare absolutely had to be on the table in order to control runaway federal spending. Additionally, the RNC as an institution has aggressively supported Medicare cuts in the past. In 1995, when congressional Republicans sought to cut $270 billion from Medicare over 7 years, the RNC ran radio ads supporting the cuts. Finally, the implication of Steele and the RNC's Medicare rhetoric is that proposed health care reforms would cut benefits for seniors. FactCheck.org recently noted the claim is outright false, which might facilitate the loading of the liar cannon.
That's just the way I roll.
And then it doesn't keep it from being repeated on and on. The AARP also agrees.
Liar, 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 liar. I'm sick and tired of lies from you.
Thank you. Mackenzie in Spokane, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Mackenzie.
Good morning, Steph. Good morning, Moog.
Good morning. Good morning.
So I have something to poke holes in the Republicans' viewpoint that they want doctors to have death panels and kill their patients.
Yes.
If doctors get paid for every time their patients come in and have a end-of-life consultation, wouldn't they want their patients to live as long as possible to get paid most?
One would think, yes. One would think.
That's, yeah, the thing they don't mention. The whole, they've been doing end-of-life counseling, and this idea was to make them be, let them be paid for it.
Yes.
I mean, that's something they've been doing for years.
Henry in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The official Black Swede, how you guys doing?
Oh, the official Black Swede of the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello. Hello.
Listen, Senator Gregg said the reconciliation process was just an expression of majority rule. Okay, when they did it, it was okay. How come it's not okay for us to go through the reconciliation process?
And because you have sussed out yet another edition of
Right-wing hypocrites!
Mm-hmm. And one other thing, though, okay, one serious thing. Why is Barack Obama listening to Republicans who are only interested in seeing him have a failed presidency?
Right.
I don't get it.
You're an angry Black Swede this morning. My goodness.
Wow. I mean, listen, you guys need to really hold the feet of the Democrats to the fire here.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, we want a successful presidency for this man. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. He'll take no further questions.
Yes, read Matt Taibbi's article in the newest Rolling Stone if you really want to get angry.
Barbara in Madison on the Dick Army. Hello, Barbara.
Hi. We have understood that tomorrow at the Marriott Hotel in Madison, they are going to film a segment of 2020. But the only way that you can sign up to be in the audience is through Dick Armey's website. And that they invited Tammy Baldwin and Russ and Herb to come, but I think none of them are coming. They're getting the person who's running against Tammy to be there. And I think they're going to fill up 800 people to shout about how they don't want healthcare to make it look like Madisonians don't want things to change. But that's their plan.
Wow.
So I'm very upset with ABC that they would try to pull this. And
that seems like a steep price to have to sign up for Dick Armey's website to be apprised of information like this. Does he send Dick Grams from there regularly? Morris does?
I guess so.
All right. All right. Listen, I get all the right-wing claptrap from my Republican brother. I don't need to sign up for those websites.
You're going to be reading some of that a little bit later on.
Yes, I am. Speaking of right-wing claptrap, Senator Tom Coburn's town hall.
Ooh, I don't know that we're going to have time for this.
Oh, we won't have time for that. Oh, I didn't see the length of that sound clip.
That's a little long.
It's good and juicy, though.
Yeah.
And it'll be worth it when we get to it. All right. You know what? Let's skip to Representative Anthony Weiner, instead Democrat of the great state of New York.
It's kind of humorous to hear the Republicans standing up and thumping their chest in support of Medicare when Medicare is a government-run, single-payer system. I thought they were opposed to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of my favorite moments on Meet the Press was when Rachel Maddow said to Dick Armey, do you really think that's a problem? A lot of people like wanting to give up their Medicare? I mean, I know you do, but... Awesome. 57 minutes after the hour, Tim Robbins, actor extraordinaire, next on the Celebrity Hotline of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, I'm walking on sunshine.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Representative Keith Ellison, Democrat of the great state of Minnesota, calling in next hour on the Celebrity Hotline to update us on health care. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Patriot Majority. Patriot Majority believes it's our patriotic duty as Americans to pass health care reform now with a strong public plan option. Jim, it's kind of strange in this health care reform debate. I have a guest quote for you. Who said the trial of the Catonsville Nine brings to life the dramatic historical trial in 1968 of two Catholic priests and seven fellow Catholic activists who committed an act of civil disobedience in protest of the war in Vietnam? This moral act of civil dissent galvanized the national protest movement. The play presents a moral imperative to commit civil disobedience when national hubris and global corporate interests act against the welfare of the nation and the well-being of the international community. Who said that?
Karl Rove.
Oh,
no,
God.
Somewhat a PR flack for Tim Robbins. That's about his fabulous new play. If only what?
Hey!
Who is
it's
Jim?
It's actor, activist, director, writer, and former college chum, Tim Robbins.
He is. Good morning, Tim Robbins.
It's pretty quick how I called in, isn't it?
Isn't it?
Yeah.
It's sort of,
wow.
It's sort of eerie.
You mentioned my name.
You ran to the phone.
I think the minute you heard me mention your play, you started lunging for the phone. I think you probably pole vaulted over Susan Sarandon to get to the phone. You're like, wait a minute, that's my play.
Exactly, and I have you on speed dial.
But it is sort of eerie. It sounds like the healthcare debate today, right? This is what we need. It's almost like we need not just civil disobedience, like a revolution to overturn these corporate interests.
There's a great op-ed in today's New York Times by Bob Herbert about how the country has completely gone to sleep on the veterans' needs and what's going on with those two wars that we're fighting, that I guess 1% of the population has anything to do with the military. So, you know, it's really important to remember that we have very important decisions to make regarding our future, regarding the Afghanistan and Iraq. And more importantly, we have a huge responsibility and a moral imperative to take care of these people that are coming home.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what's more important is how I seamlessly got the plug for your play into this discussion of health care. And because they are all moral issues, aren't they? Taking care of our vets, health care.
Yes, and also, you know, what this play asks, the question it asks is, are we by our ignorance of a situation, or by our denial or our ignoring of a situation, are we morally complicit knowing full well what's going on? Mm-hmm. Are we morally complicit in the violence, the death, the sin of war? And it's funny because this question was asked in 1968 by Daniel Berrigan, a Jesuit priest, and eight other Catholic activists. And it's a question that's still pertinent today. It's even more pertinent today because at least in 1968 there was a population that was more aware of what was going on in Vietnam,
right?
And also more invested in their own safety and security in that there was a draft.
Right.
This volunteer army is conveniently removed the discussion of the morality of war from the public spectrum.
Well, look how the president had this conference call with religious leaders. And obviously is a religious man, use religious language to talk about health care and to talk about how the right is bearing false witness on this issue. And then they were offended, like religion is their binky that he's not allowed to use.
Really?
Yeah. Well, he's a Muslim, you know.
Because he's a Kenyan Muslim, as you know.
Oh, I heard that somewhere.
Tim,
that must
what,
be true.
What's your take on the healthcare debate? It just seems like the right runs the same play every time. Well, no matter what the issue is, it's just fear mongering. It's largely based on lies.
Listen, we had a major reform in our electoral process in the past couple of years, and we demanded change as a country in a resounding way. What we did not have is any kind of reform of the media. And it's the same people that were controlling things and hiring and firing people back 7 years ago, 8 years ago, when they were cooking up this war that we're stuck in, those same people still have their jobs. Nobody lost their job. No one was fired for presenting people with false information on our airwaves to convince us to go to a war that was unnecessary. No one was fired from any of the networks for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
No one was, and we're talking about all of the networks, and we're talking about CNN. We're not just talking about Fox. There is a cacophony of voices now, oftentimes representing out-and-out lies and carrying lies on for days as talking points, bringing experts in to debate the lie instead of just simply rejecting the lie.
Right.
And so that's not an irresponsible media.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. I
mean,
and
they were that they were back then, and they are now. And they are, instead of representing the corporate interests of military contractors, they are representing the corporate interests of insurance companies and pharmaceutical companies.
Mm-hmm.
Same. It's the same playbook. It's the same deal.
Yeah.
Is saturate the American people with misinformation, lies, and deception, and you can get your way, and then take a poll every 3 weeks and see how it's working, and then we say, oh no, Obama's in trouble because look at the polls, and it's the same thing they do with war when they're cooking it up. It's the same playbook, and I think the American people have got to be smarter than this to see that this is what's going on. I think the American public should, these people that are great organizers on the progressive left should start get going on a big march on Washington to demand health care, to demand universal health care.
Yeah,
let's go for the moon here.
Right.
And if
there are some of those in the works,
A couple million people show up, and that's an undeniable thing.
I still think we have time to take back this debate and win on this issue. You're a veteran of political activism. What do you think?
I absolutely think. I think the part of it, though, we have to reclaim this election. And the people that elected him have to reclaim what we were supposed to be electing him for and demand that.
Yep.
He'll do it if it's demanded of him. He's got plenty of people that represent constituents in states that have absolutely no population. They have got his ear and are demanding things from him. But we have as a people, we have the right to do that, and we should. And I think there's been a lot of people on the left that have been silent, that have said, well, let's give him a chance. Let's not shove down his throat right now. But, I think we've gotten to the point of a critical point where we don't necessarily need to jump down his throat. We need to remind him that there was a majority of this country that wanted universal health care. And that is his job right now is to make sure that happens. Now, he might not be able to get universal health care, but he can certainly get a better plan than what's being proposed right now.
Yep, absolutely. Well, that's what we were saying, is that, many of us already feel like we've compromised enough, when single payer was off the table. So,
We compromised when he bailed out the banks instead of bailing out individuals. Mm-hmm. That's number one step gone wrong.
True.
If you've got millions of people that are losing their homes and barely getting by and losing their jobs, why don't we bail those people out? Let's make sure they're taken care of before we make sure that so-and-so gets a $14 million bonus for Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. Any good Jim Ward college stories before you go this time, Tim?
Oh,
so long ago.
Well, there was the one involving the muskrat.
Oh,
excuse me?
Muskrat? We don't talk about that.
Excuse me?
Police activity.
Was this muskrat love, technically?
How do you think the song was written?
It involved both the captain and Janelle.
Oh, boy.
Oh, God.
That'll be a story for another time.
Listen, Catonsville 9. Can we give the
information? Yes, absolutely.
Fantastic play. It's only this weekend. Four performances only.
Here in Los Angeles, correct?
Yes, and we're about to go out on tour with it. So that we're having four shows, and then we're going to Virginia and Maryland and Australia and a few other places. And
Bonza.
So it's a really great show that's already been proven to be great because people are all around the country are booking it. So anyway.
LA Weekly says go in capital letters. That's what they have to say about the play.
With an exclamation point.
That's right.
It's a beautiful play. It's very moving. And I'll come back on in a little, a couple of weeks to tell you about the plans for this amazing arts festival we have coming up.
Oh, cool.
It's called the WTF Arts Festival. We can't really say that on the air.
Yeah. Yes, I understand. You can go to theactorsgang.com for information. There's also a link to Tim's play up at stephaniemiller.com. Tim, thanks for coming on, as always.
My pleasure.
And I'll
nice
expect that
you.
Muskrat story in a couple of weeks.
Yes. All right.
Okay, see you, Jim.
Thanks.
See
thanks, Tim.
Yay.
There he goes.
No? How do you think they got the noises for this song?
Muskrat Susie was pretty hot, though.
Right? Okay.
Apart from the teeth.
Yeah, ow. Ow.
All right. I got a hate letter from Jay in Norcross. About, CNN has banned all radio hosts, including...
Yes. Stephanie Miller.
And I have taken to bitching about it ad nauseum on air.
Yes.
Jay writes, Steph, have you stopped to think that perhaps TV producers are hesitant to have you on a show or give you your own show because they think you might talk about your box, beavers, and the rag?
Computer says yes.
That type of
good
rhetoric.
Point.
Possibly, yes.
Actually, it's the producers that really want you. It's the higher-ups that didn't want you.
That type of rhetoric may be cool, but it does not garner wide base for support by only a narrow demographic, and that is not conducive to high ratings. Jay, it is on this show, but maybe it doesn't translate.
It's the producers that really want you.
I think the TV audience might actually enjoy the Beaver Stack, but
sure.
All right. I believe it's time for my Republican brother's letter.
Oh, boy.
About how Social Security is a socialist pyramid scheme. Okay.
I can't wait.
Can I have it? Does anyone else get these from their right-wing relatives? This went out to me and my two sisters who have left the fold, the Republican fold. And we're all Obama mamas. Uh-huh. I normally just hit delete, but I thought this one was entertaining. And what better way to use one's radio show than to get back at a brother that used to drip toothpaste in my face repeatedly and then suck it back up again.
And tackle you.
And tackle me while yelling Dick Butkus.
Yes.
And then blaming me for whatever was broken in the process. Also, he hung me one time, for those of you that have not done.
In the fruit cellar.
Yes. No! He dug a grave for me in the fruit cellar.
Oh.
He hung me in the... sort of the foyer thing.
Okay. Oh, jeez.
All right.
That explains a lot.
Kids, that's why you need to get a radio show in order to get revenge against your siblings.
And to exercise your demons, obviously.
Apparently. Oh, goodness.
You don't want your demons getting all fat and lazy. You got to exercise them.
See what I did there.
Okay. Okay. All right. Hey, guess what? I've prattled on too long now. I'll have to read my Republican brother's letter about how... Social Security is socialism.
Whatever.
It's got social right in it, so that's how you know.
See?
What do you say we give him a call?
No.
No? No?
20 minutes after the hour, right back with that on the Stephanie Miller Show.
But that just seems intentionally confusing.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Judy in Chicago on Town Halls. Hi, Judy.
Hi there, Stephanie.
Hi, go ahead.
Well, yesterday I went to a town hall meeting with Mark Kirk. He's the Republican congressman for the 10th district.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't get in. They had it in a small place. Only 300 people could get in. But there were a lot of us from the left out there with signs. And it's interesting. We had no confrontation. You know, it wasn't like the screaming, but these people are nuts. I mean, all they kept saying is health care is not a right. Where is it in the Constitution? We're going to have abortion if we have, health public option. And it's like Barney Frank was right. It's like talking to the dining room table.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, it's just pathetic that they just, it's all emotional talking points, even though we try to engage them. It was like a waste of our time.
Yeah. You know, if you really wanted to do something funny, you should dress as a dining room table, perhaps,
maybe,
to go to one of the town halls.
And maybe for Jan Schakowsky's town hall meeting,
All right. And then bring some incomprehensible right-wing sign with you. All right. Speaking of town halls, Senator Tom Coburn's town hall.
This was heartbreaking.
Senator Coburn, we need help. My husband has traumatic brain injury. His health insurance will not cover him to eat and drink. And what I need to know is, are you going to help him where he can eat and drink? We left the nursing home and they told us we're on our own. He left with the feeding tube. I've been working with him, but I'm not a speech pathologist, a professional that takes 6 years for a master's. And I'm trying to get him to eat and drink again. It's been so much time.
Well, I think, first of all, yeah, we'll help. The first thing we'll do is see what we can do individually to help you through our office. But the other thing that's missing in this debate is us as neighbors helping people that need our help. You know, we tend to... The idea that the government is the solution to our problems is an inaccurate, a very inaccurate statement.
Ugh, jerk.
Wow.
Yeah.
We should have a, that's what healthcare should be based on, is sort of a neighborhood watch kind of thing.
Yeah. So he's going to go and pay for this guy's treatment himself then.
Yeah.
Being a good neighbor and all.
Yeah. You know, it seems like even people that can afford the best medical treatment, like their own doctor, like Michael Jackson, that necessarily doesn't
and
work out.
I don't know that I'd want to depend on my neighbors. Anything.
Wow, can you believe he used that woman to make a point about anti-government?
The government's bad. You don't want the government helping you.
You know what? If the government is so bad, why is he a part of the government?
Yeah, and why is he on government health care?
Exactly.
Yeah. In my opinion, we mentioned it yesterday, but not enough attention
him
has
been... a traumatic brain injury.
The Stephanie Miller Show does not wish a traumatic brain injury on anyone. Okay. Anyway, not enough info.
But we need more of that. We need to hear from real people. And you know, sure, it'll be manipulative, but it's true. It's real people who are actually suffering because they don't have health care because of hypocrite bastards like him.
Wait, he doesn't miss an opportunity to do this anti-government thing. I don't think enough attention has been brought to what his really reprehensible comments on Meet the Press. Was it Meet the Press? Where, you know, they asked about this guy with the gun that's had the, you know, the exact same slogan that Tim McVeigh in his state killed 168 people, the same T-shirt. And Tom Coburn uses it again as an opportunity to go, well, you know, people don't like the government. We've earned
it. I think Tim McVeigh had a point.
That's essentially what he was saying. Is he defended it. Like, oh, yeah, we've earned it. Yeah, you should blame the government. I mean, it's like, what?
So all those people had it coming were killed there in Oklahoma. Great.
All right.
Why is he still in office?
Back with my Republican brothers who screed about government bad, Social Security bad, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I remember her looking a lot older. She looks about our age now. Oh, she's had work done.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Liz in Minnesota. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Liz.
Hi, Stephanie. I'm just so nervous. But, you
don't
know, I love you guys so much. You guys are just wonderful. Thank you for doing what you're doing.
Oh, thank you.
Yvette, I just wanted to let you know that I just got off the phone with Senator Klobuchar's office and at the Capitol, and I said, is she planning to retire soon or what, you know, and they said, well, why? And I said, well, she needs to get on board. We hired her. We elected her. She is there because of us. We in Minnesota. She needs to get on board with Franken and support we constituents who put her there. And they said
on the public option.
Yes, on the public option. And the assistant told me that she definitely is on board now. She had a teleconference last week. This is what he said.
Wow.
Yes, and that she now, after her teleconference, this is what I was told, that she's on board now with the public option. So hallelujah is right. And I'll tell you, I live by the. I'm sorry to say this, but the 6th District Representative,
Michelle Bachman.
Yes.
I'm sorry, but, you know, the thing is those people believing that cockroaches
our communist plot.
All
right.
Oh, God.
All right. Good job, people in Minnesota. I'm calling Senator Klobuchar's office. By the way, Julie in Seattle sends his high staff from the Department of Hallelujah.
Oh.
Max Baucus told a telephone town hall over the weekend that he's a Democrat of some sort after all. While discussing the obstacles to getting a public option through the Senate, he assured his listeners, I want a public option too.
Doesn't mean that he'll fight for one.
No, but it might be a glimmer of hope.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
We'll see.
He's got to win back my trust.
All right. I think I need my historical music once again. My Republican brother, as you know, my dad ran with Barry Goldwater in 1964. My brother and my mom still George Bush fans, so we shall we say, very very Republican, Fox News types. Love them, love them, love them, love them. All right. And my sisters and I have I used to be the black sheep. Now I'm a grayish sheep because they also have left the fold. Obama mamas.
Okay.
All right. So do all y'all get these emails from your right-wing relatives? I normally just wear out the delete button.
My family just doesn't talk politics at all.
Okay. This is my brother's letter about how... So you may have some thoughts on this, Jim. How Social Security is a socialist...
It says social
scheme.
Right in the name, so that's how you know.
Yeah, that's how. That was the wink-wink when they started this whole thing. Dear sisters, in my unending effort to get you to seek out facts, and that's capitalized so you know that all of this is true.
Is he writing this like one of those angry Republican screeds with some in all caps, different fonts being used, different... Oh.
Pay attention to this word! Oh. It's very important!
To seek out facts in your analysis of current-day policies, and not just quote-unquote charismatic personalities so favored by the masses here in the U.S.
People are angry at Obama not because he's too far to the left, but because he's wimping out, it seems.
And to pull you back from your total repudiation of everything your father believed in...
Oh, no.
I offer you the below link, which will describe for you how, in fact, again capitalized, so that I... Social Security was never designed or intended to become the horrendous monstrosity it has become today. That my mother lives on.
Yes.
Okay. He's going to pull the plug on Grandma.
Yeah. He wants your mom dead.
Apparently.
Clearly.
I should just write back, why do you want to kill Mom?
Okay. Communist.
Okay. You will see that like every other form of unsustainable socialism, which has failed throughout the world.
Uh-huh.
Apparently, as Dick Morris said the other day, everybody's dead. Everyone's dead in Canada, England, France, dead.
France is a completely failed country.
Wasteland. Yeah. There's just nobody there. Except Brad and Angelina.
They're buying up all the chateaux.
That's why they could get that chateau
there's
for such a steal. Because everyone's
dead. Because of socialism.
How many bids can there be on it? None. Everyone's dead. Because of socialism.
I'm guessing someone's going to be written out of the will.
I recommend any of you children listening, grow up and get yourselves a radio show to get back at your siblings.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other forms of unsustainable socialism? Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. My mom's also on those two things, which are coming in handy right now.
More socialism.
Welfare and all the other hugely wasteful social programs have already nearly bankrupted the federal government and stolen so much wealth from the private sector, which creates the vast majority of jobs, now that the pyramid is about to collapse. See his point that Social Security is a socialist pyramid scheme.
If only we'd given more money to rich people, everything would be perfect.
Mm-hmm. That's his point. Now, if your prodigious mathematics and economic skills, snark, can figure out how to sustain such a fundamentally flawed system, I will happily attend your Nobel laureate ceremony, smiley face.
Why do you even still talk to him?
In the meantime, I will accept your apology any time for telling me that I was wrong in saying that Social Security was never intended to be as big a federal program as it has become.
Well, there are more people in the country now.
He's included a helpful link on Wikipedia, so it must be true.
Oh, it must be true.
On Social Security in the United States.
And what a disaster it is for people like his mom.
Mm-hmm. In fact, some argue that Roosevelt's spending caused more of and worsened the Depression.
Yeah. Some people say no one landed on the moon either.
In 1937-38, before the private sector war buildup pulled us out of it.
No.
Love, Republican.
First of all, it wasn't private sector war. It was government funded.
Oh,
secondly, the reason recovery slowed down is because Roosevelt listened to the Republicans and the equivalent of Blue Dogs, and as Dave said, they needed to pull back on the program and worry about deficits.
Maybe that's why your mom is still a Republican, is because she lives around him.
I think so.
You need to move her in with you.
I think
yeah, you got room.
Listen, let's not get hysterical here.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
I would. I love my mom more than anything. However, she does not know how to operate electronics of any kind.
And well, neither do you, so that's a match made in heaven.
Well, that's my point.
Of course, it could put a damper on some of your parties.
I still have, I think I still have the stereo that many years ago, she hit the off button so hard, it's somewhere in the back of the unit now.
Wow. No.
I'm like, okay, Mom. That's off now. You got that.
Really,
I had to, for years, I had to fish my finger in there and, like, you know, almost electrocute myself trying to get the button because
really,
the actual plastic
really
piece.
Hated that song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Mom, you really just have to tap that. You don't really need to, you know, that's, wow, okay, good job. That's off now.
See, if you'd been playing Begin the Begin, it would have been fine. But, no, you had some loud dance crap.
Okay. Republicans are targeting older Americans worried about President Obama's health care overhaul plans. Why are they worried, Jim? Because the Republicans told them to be. Yes, the Seniors Health Care Bill of Rights. Have you seen this? By the six principles outlined by the Republican National Committee include protecting Medicare, prohibiting rationing of health care based on age, and making sure the government doesn't get between seniors and their doctors, all of which President Obama's health overhaul does. But good for them for echoing that.
Why are the conservatives so concerned with protecting a government-run health care plan?
Interesting.
Like Medicare.
Under the Democrats' plan, Michael Steele wrote, senior citizens will pay a steeper price and will have their treatment options reduced or rationed.
Really?
You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
Hey.
Wow, he must have massive hemorrhoids from pulling all that crap out of his ass.
Mm-hmm. Ed Rollins.
Every time there's a camera around.
Yeah.
Republican strategist.
Republicans are not going to play the game, whether it's socialized medicine or new entitlement or what have you. So I think the president has a very important responsibility here, and it's Democrats fighting Democrats. It's progressive Democrats versus blue dog Democrats. Mm. And I think to a certain extent he has enough votes. He may have to modify it somewhat. But he needs to get a bill. He needs to get something done. Otherwise, he's going to have a long, hard battle here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Time to knock some heads.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It's our favorite crunchy audio goodness when we come back. It's yet another... we have Dick when we come back. Dick Morris.
Oh, really big Dick.
Yes, another screechy healthcare rant as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
May cause dizziness, sexual nightmares, and sleep crying.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
The walls come tumbling down. The walls come tumbling, tumbling. The walls come tumbling, tumbling down.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 47 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Steve in Orange County with a question about my Republican brother. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Stephanie. I was wondering, while growing up, did you ever see your brother naked? The reason being because...
We took baths together up till even a couple years ago.
What?
No.
No.
What?
The reason being because he reminds me of a lot of right-wing hardcore Republicans like him. He must have a little wanker. That's why he's so angry.
Oh, no. I'm not going to discuss that. All right, then. let's not get into my family's nudity again. That's been discussed on the show before.
Yeah, like your
parents.
Your mom doing naked headstands.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, don't speak. Don't speak. Don't speak.
It was her exercises?
Silence.
Yes.
Silence. Don't speak.
Okay. Let's let's move on to Dick Morris.
Oh.
on the Hannity show on the healthcare.
The real thing that's going on here is this unbelievable public groundswell against the healthcare package and of concern about the deficit.
What a load of crap.
Yeah, that's the real grassroots thing.
Oh, my God.
It. By the way, we read one of his screechy rants that encouraged people to go to the encourage that just organic. What do you call it? A groundswell.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that wasn't as breathless as I had hoped, but all right. All right. You know, there's a good piece on the Associated Press about, and we've talked about this before, that all of the young Obama backers have kind of gone AWOL from this, and we need to, they need to come back to the fold. Come back. Because, I think that what they're saying is, you know, it's just kind of been, what's the word, like, portrayed as like a fight about old people. Like, oh, healthcare, they let the seniors fight about that. You've seen a lot of the town halls, there's a lot of older people there because the Republicans are doing such fear-mongering. But anyway.
And older people are generally retired, and they can go to these things that are held in the daytime.
Yeah.
Because they're, not working.
Tim Robbins was just talking about this, that we need to organize, just like we did during the election. Associated Press saying, add this to President Obama's problems in selling his health care overhaul. A lot of the tech-savvy activists who helped put him in office are young, feeling indestructible, not all that into what they see as an old folks issue. It's a crucial gap in support and one the White House may have to correct if Obama is going to regain the momentum and get Congress to act on his top domestic priority. Again, like we've been saying, don't give up. Fight the good fight. We just had a caller that said that Senator Klobuchar said that she is going to come out in support of the public option. Right now, we're seeing a big conversation with seniors, but you're not seeing the same mobilization among young people who are President Obama's core constituency, said one activist. The age demographic most supportive of reform has not been engaged, and it makes me very nervous. That's true. When you do the polling, polling shows younger voters are the most supportive of health care reform. Voters 18 to 29 won over Obama won them over McCain by 66% to 32%. Mm-hmm. So that really is. It's a big segment of the population. It's kind of missing in action on this debate. Talk of death panels and pulling the plug on grandma, although discredited, has scared seniors. Sensing opportunity, the RNC, of course, just keeps echoing this. The Senior Health Care Bill of Rights, which essentially has everything that's in the bill.
That's right.
Republicans are trying to make it seem like their idea. Seniors were the only group, by the way, oddly enough, that preferred John McCain by 55% to 43%, the only age group Obama lost, because John McCain made them feel young.
Yeah.
Because everyone's young compared to him.
Yes.
Grampy. Okay. If we're going to keep this generation engaged, we have to move away from the politics of partisan talking points and move back to what was done last year, the politics of engagement, citizenship, democracy, online and ground activity and conversation with peers. According to another blogger, they say, I'm taking a break from politics. I'm uninformed about the system. I'm sick of Washington. I'm not going to help these people. It's interesting that he hasn't countered that disengagement yet. To bring those voters back, the analyst says Obama needs to draw on his own personal popularity. We've talked about this. And make the health care debate about him rather than allow it to seem like a mishmash of legislation coming out of Capitol Hill. It's stuff that we've said on the show as well. He hasn't said yet, this is my plan. The opponents are trying to take my plan away from me. During the campaign, young people got involved because they believed in Barack Obama, and healthcare is something he made a priority. The blogger added she expects to see more activity around the issue in the fall when colleges are back in session and younger families return from vacation. So get on it, people, you slackers, you stoners. Get off the couch. Okay, let's go to Ed in Madison. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show on healthcare. Hello, Ed.
Hi, good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
Good, go ahead.
Excellent. I just wanted to make a comment that I think it's really critical that we rephrase part of this debate by using the term our government instead of the government.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and what we can basically convey that message is that the government is working for us. It is in our best interest. It is for the common good, and that seems to be one of their main points is that these people are against you,
right.
And I think we
need to
reframe that.
Right, and isn't it amazing for people that have been calling us anti-American for 8 years, it's like now suddenly it's just the government. It's not their government.
Mm-hmm.
Not realizing that, guess what? Our government is made up of other Americans.
But that's been
Precisely. And I'm used to it because I also, unfortunately, have a Republican mother. And it's horrible. Each time the conversation immediately turns to that, no matter what it is, and it's like talking to the wall. It's absolutely incredible.
I know. You know what my mom says? Oh, Steffi, you've gotten so radical.
by supporting Social Security that's keeping you
keeping
alive.
Keeping her alive, yeah. Yes. Right. Jason in Huntsville, Alabama, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Stephanie, how are you today?
Good, go ahead.
Good. I just called my congressman, Congressman Parker Griffiths, Alabama 5th Congressional District. He's a blue dog, and I made him aware, made his office aware, that if he votes against the public option, I will work for his defeat this next summer.
Good.
Yep.
Also called Congressman Archer Davis' office. Now, I'm not in his district, but he's an African-American Democrat from Alabama who is running for governor. He is not planning on voting for the public option, and I will not work for his campaign. I think that that we have an opportunity, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and they're going to throw it away. I'm retired from the United States Army. I have TRICARE. I love my health insurance. And what I find to be so hypocritical is if these congressmen who are so opposed to a public option do not forego their public option,
yeah, exactly.
They are the epitome of hypocrisy.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. Thank you, Jason. I appreciate it.
So when did you become a communist?
But
this has been the Republican mantra since Roosevelt. Government is the enemy.
Yep.
Government, you know.
Yeah.
They exactly. Didn't mind the government so much when it was, you know, winning World War II.
Hey, here's a sign that maybe people are getting tired of wishy-washy Democrats. A newspaper poll says Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid faces formidable opposition next year when he seeks a fifth term. The survey paints the Democratic incumbent as the underdog when matched against either of two possible Republican rivals.
He
lags by as much as 11 percentage points.
I don't see how anyone could have the force of personality that I do to defeat me.
Yeah, but I'd rather have Harry Reid in there than either one of those two Republicans.
Absolutely.
Yes, me too. But, you know, I'm just saying, this is what, you know, our last caller is saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those poll numbers, Chris, come from somewhere originally. 70 to what some polls, 77% of the American people want a public option in health care reform. Where are you? Call people like, whether it's a Harry Reid, whether it's a Steny Hoyer, who's for the public option, been going, oh, well, you know, I'm for it, but I'm for getting a bill passed, and, you know, no. It is not time to give up on this fight. Let's go to Greg in Fort Lauderdale. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hello, Greg.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being had.
My question is, if the administration is just a tad off in their estimate of the debt over 10 years of only $2 trillion, how are people supposed to believe that the health care numbers that they're talking about are accurate?
Well, you know, Greg, first of all, nobody has a crystal ball on that. I mean, and that's part of the problem. You know, so I agree with you on that. But what do we do? I mean, healthcare costs are just going to keep going up and up and up.
I mean, we
can't afford to do nothing. I understand what you're saying. It's almost like, but that's what the right is selling right now, the fear of the unknown. Oh, well, it might be worse.
Well, and another thing that's misleading is
if we do nothing, it's definitely going to be worse.
I agree there should be reform, and I agree that 70-something percent of the people agree to reform. But what you keep saying is like when people say the president's approval rating, that's not what matters. What matters is on the president's side is how people feel about his policies. And if you look at the people who disapprove of not health care reform, but the way that it's being approached, that's the telling number. But, again, you can't get in front of people and say, we're going to do this, we're going to save money here, this is how much it's going to cost, when your estimate of your debt is $2 trillion. Off.
Right, but you know, Greg, the other thing people are saying is they're also underestimating the savings that we're going to have. That it's hard to estimate accurately. So you know, you can have this conversation on and on forever. None of us have a crystal ball.
It's not doing anything because it might cost money.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Representative Keith Ellison from the great state of Minnesota. Stand up news and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Nothing. StephanieMiller.com.
What's the matter with you?
The website. Nothing. I just tripped over my headphones and I've been...
That's because you're wearing those gigantic boots of yours.
That was like the scene from Broadcast News right before I came on air.
They look like they're three sizes too big.
They really do. You need you might need to look into getting some new shoes.
1-800.
How long have you had those?
I don't know. 1-800.
Summer. Who wears fur boots in summer?
They're not fur boots. People wear them to yoga and spinning and stuff.
They did about 7 years ago.
Oops.
They're the new leg warmers.
Nobody's wearing ripped T-shirts anymore. I love flash dance. Representative Keith Ellison, Democrat of the great state of Minnesota, on the Celebrity Hotline this hour. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Patriot Majority. Patriot Majority believes it is our patriotic duty as Americans to pass health care reform now with a strong public plan option, which Keith Ellison is for.
And he's been fighting for ever since the beginning.
Mm-hmm. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Oh, more fear-mongering from Michael Steele on health care.
Senior citizens right now are scared to death.
Boo!
Because they see the government coming into an area of their lives and trying to play in a way that they could get the short end of the stick.
Oh.
And where would they have gotten that impression? Oh, yeah, from jerks like you.
Oh, I know. They're scared mostly because...
You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
Hey, that's just how I roll.
Ooh, but guess what? We've got a shiny object to distract the right on. The prosecution of the torture tools. Michael Hayden, former CIA director, with that whole don't look back,
right.
We have to look forward. Don't look back there where the crime is.
Continuing looking back, continuing to pull these good people through a knothole, will teach people never to play to the edge. We will teach timidity to a workforce that we need to be vigorous and active.
Isn't that the Nazis said at Nuremberg?
Yeah.
You need us to help you fight the commies.
Timidity defined by, staying within the law.
Yeah.
I see. Yeah, that would be timid. Okay, we will get to all of that in a moment. In the meantime, more fear-mongering that the president is vacationing near a nude beach with a gay name.
Well, about 10 miles down from the Obama compound is a place called Gay Head Bluffs. So we wandered down to the beach underneath the bluffs, and it turned out it was a nude beach.
Oh, dear God.
Only 10 miles away, my God.
What the fox? That was on O'Reilly.
Well, that was O'Reilly's little pissant producer who goes and ambushes everybody. Mm. He ambushed a bunch of people on a nude beach.
Trying to find things to get people wee-weed up about, are we? The president said everybody's getting all wee-weed up.
Yeah.
I was the first one that asked, what the hell did he mean by getting wee-weed up? The White House has explained.
What is wee-weed up?
I don't know if I should do that from the podium.
Oh, how disgusting.
Robert Gibbs said, let's do this in a way that's family-friendly. I think wee-weed up is when people get all nervous so for no particular reason. Bedwetting.
Wee-weed up. There's something about August going into September. Everybody in Washington gets all wee-weed up.
Are you upset because you went wee-wee on the carpet?
Wee-weed up.
Did you pee in me?
Everybody my age pees their pants. It's the coolest.
It's going in the lexicon now.
That's what talk radio is all about, getting wee-weed up.
Yeah. Wee-weed up.
Congratulations. How do you feel?
I got to pee.
Thank you, Kenny.
I bet if you got Gibbs drunk enough, he'd pee from the podium. He'd wee-wee from the podium.
Julie from Seattle, one of your mooks was 100% correct about this.
Mm-hmm.
That would be you, Jim, not you. Right-wing tool. Stephanie, based on O'Reilly's You Will Die, oh, you remember this. We played this earlier, Bill O'Reilly.
If you do this, Holder, no foreign country is going to cooperate with the United States in intel gathering because they don't want to be dragged into any scandal. So we're going to lose all intel drying up around the world. And you might be killed because of it.
Based on O'Reilly's You Will Die and the panicked Fox reports from Sunday, it appears the SM Newscast was correct as usual. I think it was Jim who said last week that prosecuting torture would open a second front and divert the right-wing tool media from their douche-tastic efforts to pile insane lies all over the health care bill. Maybe there is chess playing going on, Julie, in Seattle. All right. Chris in Yankton, regarding what kind of a loaf we might get for health care, a half loaf or whatever, I'm reminded of the Charlie Brown Halloween special. The kids check their trick-or-treat bags. Linus, I got half a loaf. Lucy, I got a whole loaf. Charlie Brown, I got a rock. I just hope we don't get the rock.
Well, at least you didn't get Afghanistan.
You rock. See what I did.
Christmas time is here.
I didn't have the...
I love this whole album.
Yeah.
great.
Wow. Speaking of animated specials, this one, I hope this woman has a dental plan as part of her health insurance. Woman awarded $2 million after dentist pulls 16 teeth.
Oh! Yo!
Like the Bumble.
Didn't I ever tell you about Bumbles? Bumbles bounce!
Do you remember? In Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, a South Carolina woman has won a $2 million jury verdict against a dental clinic that mistakenly pulled 13 teeth.
Yeah.
She wanted 3 teeth pulled when she went to Saxton Dental Clinic. Her lawsuit said a dentist at the clinic pulled all 16 of her upper teeth.
That's
oh, my God.
That's why you should go with Novocaine.
Look at what he can do.
Yes, Jim.
You should go with Novocaine and not be knocked out. So you had you been conscious, yeah, you would have been aware that he was taking out more than he should have.
Yeah, exactly. How about this for me?
I had a good nap. Where did all my teeth go?
I could put a star on the Christmas tree. Okay, police, wow, this is, can I have my dragnet? Wow-wee, this is a crime blotter. Diane sends us this story from Niceville, Florida, where this is not very nice.
No.
Man tells police woman stole his sex toy. Police were called to a home on Buddy Phelps Road.
Buddy Phelps Road?
Wow, there's
your first
time.
Yeah. Living on Buddy Phelps Road.
On the night of August 11 to take a report on a stolen dildo.
Sure wasn't Buddy Phelps? Oh, I'm sorry.
No.
Jim Louise Ward.
The man who lived there said a woman had lived with him for about a week, and when she left, she took his... those things.
Do we want to know why? No, we don't.
Okay. The officer...
Why do you think, Jim?
The officer contacted the woman who said she had his...
He thought it was a massager for those hard-to-reach areas.
Yes.
The officer contacted the woman who said she had his dildo, but he had her camera.
I'm guessing he's a Steely Dan fan.
The man said he would give her back her camera when she returned his sexual device. Oh. About 15 minutes later, the woman came back with a male friend and returned the aforementioned dildo. And so it all was like sort of a happy ending.
So to speak.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Okay. A church in Columbus is turning heads with its public spin on the pop song I Kissed a Girl. A sign outside Havens Corners Church in suburban Blacklick, which sounds dirty.
Blacklick.
Has the lyrics from the song's chorus, I Kissed a Girl and I Liked It, and then adds, and then I went to hell.
Oh, dear.
The church pastor says the Bible is clear that... homosexuality is a sin.
No.
So the sign is intended as a loving...
I don't say anything about it.
Yeah, because it doesn't mention it.
And
so the sign is intended as a loving warning to teens.
Oh.
He says it has confused some people who either don't know the song or don't understand the message.
Plus, even in Leviticus, when it talks about men lying with men, they say nothing about women lying with women.
That's right.
That's hot. Yeah. Men with men is creepy, but...
As Bill Maher always says...
Girl on girl.
When
hey.
We say we're against the gay marriage, we don't mean the girls. All right, let's check some other news we don't want to lose, shall we, kids? Here we go!
Yippee! Yippee! It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person, Stephanie Miller!
Thank you. When news breaks here at Stays Broken, our top story. The headline is, textbooks being written for Texas students appear to lean to the right.
Oh.
Oh, isn't that a great America? Can I have my fine American music where some other... kid dumb as a stump from Texas can grow up to be president of the United States. That's America. Texas high school students would learn about such significant individuals and milestones of conservative politics as Newt Gingrich and the rise of the moral majority, but nothing about liberals. Under the first draft of new standards for public school history textbooks. So we have, who do we have?
Yeah, I have a teacher in the class with the textbooks.
Class, we're coming to order right now. Timmy, put away those spitballs and pay attention. Now, we're going to have a pop quiz on what we learned so far this semester. Can anyone tell me who it was that parted the sea of red ink? Sally?
It was St. Ronald Reagan. He did it while he was leading the white people out of slavery in the land of the liberals.
That's right, Sally. Extra credit. Can anyone tell me what happened on Contract with America Sunday? Okay, Timmy, give it a try.
Well, that's when Holy Newt Gingrich rode into Washington, D.C. on his dinosaur to smite the evolutionist.
Exactly right, Timmy. You've redeemed yourself of them spitballs. Let's get a little more recent. What was the last battle of the Civil War? John Bob?
It was a battle of MSNBC when General Iron Pants Buchanan talked the evil Rachel Maddow into surrendering her privates.
Well, somebody's been studying. Okay, one last question, then we'll study our biology according to George Bush. Who was the recipient of the Immaculate Deception, and what did the deception accomplish? Y'all should know this. Daisy?
The Most Reverend Phyllis Schlafly did it. And it was blocking the ERA from destroying femininity and requiring all women to have a penis attached. Excellent, Daisy. Now follow as I read. In the beginning, there was the stem cell, and it was without regulation. And George said, let there be... Yes, Daisy?
What's a penis?
It's a black magic wand the liberals used to impregnate good Christian girls with communism. Now hush, you'll learn all about them next year in abstinence class.
Well, it's a dirty little secret is that all of our textbooks come... The school textbooks come from Texas.
Oh, great.
With the things that say that you know, creationism and evolution are sort of equally valid theories.
Yeah.
Turns out bullets weren't the worst thing to come out of these Texas school books.
Stop it, Jim Ward.
And finally, hey, meat cocktails for everybody.
Excuse me? What cocktails?
Meat-flavored cocktails you're making right now. First, you cook the bacon, remove the fat, tear it into pieces. It sounds like the start of a nice breakfast. It's actually the first part of mixologist Adam Seeger's baconcello. It's a baconcello.
You have to ask Rachel what she
like
thinks.
Like a lemoncello, but
yes.
Bacon. Okay.
Recipe. The next step
it's
is
a cello made out of bacon.
Steeping the bacon in vodka for 72 hours.
Go!
Bacon-infused spirits and other so-called carnivorous cocktails are quirky options on the menus of some cutting-edge bars these days. And with the introduction this May of a mass-produced product called Bacon Vodka, flesh-favored spirits are beginning to nudge their way into the mainstream drinking scheme. Bacon, the most popular meat in a glass... But they've also made a ham and cheese cocktail.
Oh, no.
And are experimenting with others. For some reason, our favorite former congressman from Illinois, Denny Hastert, has some thoughts on this.
Oh, yeah. My God, I must be slipping to my old age. Did you ever just slap yourself on the forehead and say, why didn't I think of that? Well, here it goes. Why didn't I think of that? Ow. I think I just scrambled my... I'm going Southern again. What? I'm not still stuck on the old bit.
You slapped yourself back into the last bit.
Why didn't I think of that? Ow, I think I just scrambled my frontal lobes and my backal lobes. I mean, it's just so obvious. How many times I've gone down to the Chicago Chop House down there in Ontario and ordered a 64-ounce porterhouse, medium rare, and washed it down with a couple of tree dry martinis. And not once did it occur to me, why not cut straight to the chase? Meat cocktails. Why didn't I think of that? Ow. Bacon-flavored vodka, ham and cheese bourbon, foie gras calvados, lamb peppermint schnapps. Though I stopped there. Why not baked potato with sour cream and chives Jägermeister? Turducken drambuie. The possibilities are endless. Why didn't I think of that? Ah!
Oh, that's sort of a glass crashing down.
Oh, why didn't I take the glass out of my hand first? Ow! Ah!
Sorry, I forgot about that one. Yeah.
That's all for stand-up news. I'm here all week. Tell your friends. If you'd like more Jim Ward, fall to all.
Jim Ward's apocryphal but true. There's a title ad at stephaniemiller.com. Go there. Buy the album. Thank you.
On Friday night, I had a taste of a cucumber and basil cocktail.
Ooh, that sounds good.
It was actually good. Yeah.
Okay, 20 minutes. That's good eating and drinking.
Yeah, exactly.
20 minutes after the hour, the far right screaming. They're screaming. I can hear them screaming. About the prosecuting of the torture tools. We'll tell you all about that as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's a combination of low self-esteem, low blood sugar, and mixing red wine with my dog's painkillers.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Of course, the breaking news this morning, Attorney General Eric Holder has decided to appoint a prosecutor to examine nearly a dozen cases in which CIA interrogators and contractors may have violated anti-torture laws and other statutes when they allegedly threatened terrorism suspects. Yeah, nice stuff, like threatening to sexually assault people's mothers, kill one suspect's children.
Great. Makes you proud to be an American, doesn't it?
Power drills, etc. Buddy in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Wonder Buns.
Hello. Please, call me Sweet Cheeks.
Whatever term of endearment you want.
Okay.
Hey, two things. Just real quick, before I get to Cheney, is, you know that socialist Obama picked Ben Bernanke, that famous communist, again this morning?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, when are they going to stop with the socialism stuff?
Yeah, I know. He's a Republican, FYI. GTK.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. On Cheney, you know what he just said? Save lives and prevent terrorist attacks. The people involved deserved our gratitude. They do not deserve to be targets of political investigations.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good.
I mean, this is the guy who outed Val Plame.
Uh-huh. Yep.
You know, and he's talking about protecting the CIA. I mean, that man, he needs a...
By the way, did you hear the breaking news this morning, buddy? Earlier this year, as you know, Dick Cheney requested the CIA release those documents that would prove that the torture worked. His request was denied, but they have been released. So is Cheney vindicated?
Computer says no.
No, not so much.
They read the documents fine. Not only do they not support Cheney's claim, in fact, they sometimes show the opposite, that the traditional non-torture techniques often worked well, prying valuable information from detainees.
Yeah.
Cheney's public account of these documents have conflated the difference between information acquired from detainees, which the documents present, and information acquired from detainees through torture, which they don't work.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, yeah. Mm. Gee. Interesting. Huh.
So Cheney lied again?
Be interesting to see his reaction to that, since he was the one urging them to be released.
He was kind of quiet yesterday. Interesting.
Okay. Mary calling from a boat in New York.
Awesome.
Hi, Mary.
Hello. Three things. Yesterday, since I'm on my boat, I'm listening to broadcast radio, and there's one decent show left on the nice, polite Republican broadcast system. And Terry Gross had on a fellow named T.R. Reid, I believe, who writes for the Washington Post, and he did something on healthcare. He just wrote a whole book on healing America and how to get decent healthcare in the United States. And one of the things that he said was that back in the 60s, when Johnson initiated Medicare.
Yep.
Not only was it based on the Canadian system, the name is from the Canadian system.
Ah.
It's called Medicare because that's what they call it.
What body of water are you on in New York?
Right off the Long Island Sound.
Oh.
Heading into Greenport. Yeah, it's really quite nice. We're having a little end of summer sail with my family.
Well, ahoy, Captain. Thank you for calling.
Well, I have two more things.
Okay. Oh, all right. Quickly, go ahead.
Okay, I haven't heard you a lot this week, so you may have already seen this, but a brilliant sign, big, tall fellow, huge sign that said, we have no idea what the hell we're talking about, and he stood in the middle of the lunatic.
Yes, I saw that.
Nice one. All right, 28 minutes after the hour. Be nice to talk to someone that does know what they're talking about on healthcare. Representative Keith Ellison, one of our personal favorites from the great state of Minnesota. Next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You are so cool.
It's about time someone noticed.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. You know, when you're right, you don't need to be loud at the...
What?
I say, never mind. When you're having a debate about health care, all you need are the facts. If only there was somebody like that fighting the good fight. Yes, Jim, who is it?
From the great state of Minnesota, it's Representative Keith Ellison.
One of our very personal favorites. Good morning, Congressman.
Hey, Steph, how you doing?
I am fine, because not only are you right about health care, you were right before it was even cool about the public plan.
Well, we're going to let these bandwagon folks jump on the bandwagon anyway. Well, that's all right. We'll take them.
You've been leading the charge, obviously, for a public option. And you've talked about something that I mentioned earlier. I think Jonathan Alter wrote about this, that this is a civil right.
Yep.
Health care, and we haven't framed it perhaps like that as well.
Well, we need to. And I tell you this, you know, we got 60 strong moving up on 100 who say that if, unless there's this robust public option, it's not going to be a bill we're going to support.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been sending that message to the White House and anybody who will listen. I think it's important for progressive community members to know that there's a whole lot of folks in Congress who are not selling out. And we're strong on the public option, and we're going to demand it. And we,
what?
But we can't do it without the people's help.
Congressman, where from your place in the House do you see what happened this past weekend? You know, we were all heartened, obviously, on the progressive side when Nancy Pelosi appeared to draw a line in the sand and say, I cannot pass a bill without a public option, period. And then Steny Hoyer comes out and says, you know, I don't know. I'm a fan of the public option, but I'm a fan of passing a bill.
Where did that come from?
You know what? I would not worry about that. You know, let me tell you why. Because if you get a quote from a particular politician from one moment to the next, that it's all a matter of how they're quoted. You know, I think here's the bottom line. Both my friend Steny Hoyer and everybody else in the Congress, every Democrat, is going to end up supporting the public option if the people put their feet in the street. One of the more exciting things that happened recently is Representative Shaka Fattah from Philly put together a resolution saying, let's have a national rally on September 13th to coincide with National Grandparents Day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to get the people out there raising their voices. You know, I'm telling you, Stephanie, the tide has turned. All those people lying about death panels and all that, they're being exposed for the misinformers and dissemblers that they are. And but we got to get the people out there really, really revving it up.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, it not only is it a moral issue, as the president has talked about, but, you know, the civil rights issue. I think, you know, the way Jonathan Alter wrote it at Newsweek, he said, you know, we hopefully will look back one day and not believe where there was a time when we discriminated against people in this country because they got sick.
Well, you know, we do now. But the question is, what are we going to do about it? We know in our heart that it's wrong. A very small number of people making a whole lot of money benefit from the status quo. Are we going to stand by and let them continue to do this to us?
Mm-hmm.
I hope not.
Yep, absolutely. Well, what? Oh, pardon you. Are you? You're not sick, are you?
No, I'm just clearing my throat.
Oh, I was going to say good because you have that fancy government plan, though. If you are so.
And by the way, they keep on asking me would I put my family on the public option. Yes, I would. How's that?
Well, there you go. Thank you. Now, you also have been making some good points about that these co-ops would achieve the same goals as a public plan. Explain that.
The co-ops would not be achieving the same goals of public option because a public option is something that would have a big network, provider network in the very beginning, which is essential to its success, which is something a co-op simply would not have. Now, one thing about the co-op argument is that I think that this actually helps the public option people because it is an acknowledgement that nonprofit health care is essential. The only problem is it gives us a nonprofit health care option, but with none of the benefits of a public option.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not as good.
And it seems like the operative thing at this point, Congressman Ellison, is that, you know, people on the right have already even said they're not even going to vote for that. So, you know, why water it down and make something, you know, not real health care reform when the Republicans aren't going to vote for that either?
And God bless them for saying so. I mean, the fact is, any Democrats thinking, oh, well, if we water this thing down weak enough, we can get some Republican votes. No, you can't. They've said they won't vote for any co-ops or anything. As a matter of fact, Rush Limbaugh got up there and said, health care co-ops, that's just health care communes. You know, I'm like, good. I mean, I love their candor. Let them continue to be clear. And I don't know why we're wasting any time trying to get a bill that some Republicans are going to support. We got the majority. The people gave it to us. We have an obligation to pursue a mandate.
Mm-hmm. Congressman, we had a caller earlier from Minnesota that said they called Senator Klobuchar's office, and she has announced that she is going to support a public option.
Good.
So, I mean, it seems like, you know, we should not give up this fight, that legislators are listening, right?
We're going to win this thing. Let me tell you, over 10,000 people called my dear friend's office and told her that she should support a public option. And she, being the great public servant that she is, listened. And so now she is on board. As a matter of fact, I think there's at least 45 senators who have said public option. And I just want to, you know, say, hey, look, Schumer was out there early. Feingold was out there earlier. Bernie Sanders was out there early. And they were banging on the drum. And then Rockefeller gets out there strong. So the fact is that, you know, we progressives have got to understand power. And I really want to be clear. We've got to understand power. We can't view power as something we don't have and we should be always fighting against. When you get the power, when the people hand you the power,
you're supposed to use it
for the benefit of the people.
I think that you should make every Democrat repeat after you, "I've got the power." Say it.
I've got the power. That's right. You all
have
that tune?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Crank that.
We're gonna give every Democrat a boombox to walk onto the House floor with.
Right.
Before we have this
shoulder and crank it.
Yeah, before we have this vote, we're going to...
That's right.
Say it.
All right.
Look, this thing on September 13th, I hope that people are thinking about it and getting some internet traffic buzzing about it, because it could be a great deal.
Right. Well, you know, that's what we were talking about earlier, is that particularly a lot of the younger people that got Obama elected, they need to get involved in this. They need to, you know, this is not an old person's issue. It's an issue for all of us.
You better believe it. Well, you know, when healthcare premiums are doubling every 9 years, you better believe it's everybody's problem. I mean, yes, it is an issue of the uninsured, but it's by no means only an issue of the uninsured. Fact is, if you have insurance, you can definitely be denied for a pre-existing condition. You can't switch jobs. I mean, it is a problem for us all, and we've got to do something about it now. And it's a civil rights issue, but in some ways, it offers more promise than even the historic civil rights battles, because in the past, you know, people think of the civil rights movement for African Americans, civil rights is sort of an African American thing, and the women's rights movement is a women's thing. Hey, we're all in this thing. We can join all colors, all cultures, all faiths, arm in arm, to have real health care reform.
Yep, absolutely. Congressman, what is your take on how this is all going to play out? Obviously, you know, we're watching the sausage be made every day, as it keeps being said, but what, I mean, there's talk of everything. Thing, reconciliation, breaking the bills in two, doing this, doing that. What I mean, from, you know, being in the thick of it there in Congress, how do you think it's going to play out?
Here's my prediction. When we get back, we're going to have a House bill that's pulled together with this robust public option, because we're going to demand that. Then the Senate is going to tip towards a public option. I don't know if the Finance Committee will have one, but the Health Committee will. What will end up happening, they'll send something to conference, and then we're going to let them, then we have a whole other battle to fight, because we're going to have to send the message to the conferees that don't come out of the conference with some kind of report that doesn't include a public option. You better have it in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's going to be a big battle. And then we're going to get something with a public option coming out. It's going to be strong, and it's going to be a big deal at the White House, and the president's going to sign it. And then we're going to join 36 other countries in the world which have universal health care and have a reasonable way to take care of their people's health.
You just make me feel all warm and fuzzy inside.
Well, you know what? Don't let these teabag nutballs and all the rest of these people get you down. They are losing. We are beating them up. They are losing this battle.
Well, you know, that's the thing, Representative.
Shame on the corporate press for only showing people acting up at a town hall.
Exactly.
Yeah, listen.
All the people there are saying reasonable things in a civil way, and they go pluck out the weirdo to put him on national television.
If it bleeds, it bleeds.
Yep, exactly. Yep. I mean, listen, my homegirl, Maxine Waters, kicked some ass and took some names the other day at a town hall here.
Don't mess with Maxine.
No, you don't mess with Maxine.
But I think that's a really important point, that it really is psychological warfare. There, you know,
it is.
We've played bites in right-wing world here where they're, the public option's gone. You know, they want to demoralize our side to go, is it already too late? Okay, well, it's over. It's not over, right?
Exactly.
Right.
You have nailed it. The fact is, you cannot let these people discourage you. You have to say, look, you know, what would say Susan B. Anthony do? Would she say, they don't want us to vote, so maybe we can't?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
no.
Absolutely.
What would Susan Anton do?
Susan Anton say?
That's
we don't know. All right. You know what? You're absolutely right, Congressman Ellison, and why? Say it with me. Because I have the power.
You got the power, yo.
I have the power.
That's the jam.
I have the power. All
crank
right.
it.
Congressman Keith Ellison, thank you. All right, there
Yay!
You go.
Oh, he's awesome.
Needs more cowbell.
He is so good.
Everybody sing.
I
we have the power.
Up.
We have the power.
You don't really sing to this song.
Grab your power.
It's more cowbell.
Grab your power. Call your senator. Call your congressman.
Yeah.
Get off the couch, you lazy bastard. 43 minutes after the hour. Right back with the torture of the Bush administration torture tools as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Who are those freaks?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Say it. I've got the power. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 48 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2. The phone number toll free from anywhere. David in Washington on the healthcare debate. Hello, David.
Hi, Stephanie. Yep. The power, definitely.
You have the power. Say it. All right, go ahead.
You know, okay, one really quick. The headline from yesterday on the front page of USA Today, dialysis treatment in USA, high costs, high death rates.
Oh, yeah.
And Senator Snake in the Grassley should be ashamed of himself for scaring Grandma. He better watch it or else the people of Iowa will be pulling the plug on.
Pulling the political plug on Schmuck Astley. Mike in Tacoma, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Mike. Hello, Mike. Go ahead. Hello, Mike. Oh, that can't be good.
I think he was eaten by his dot matrix printer.
All right.
That's what it sounded like.
Hate when that happens.
Yeah.
All right. As we mentioned, Eric Holder to appoint a prosecutor to investigate CIA terror interrogations. The mandate is whether there's enough evidence to launch a full-scale criminal investigation of current and former CIA personnel who may have broken the law in their dealings with detainees. Some really disgusting stuff, obviously, coming out about.
Oh, my God. Done in your name.
Yeah, in your name. Threatening to kill one detainee's children, another one threatening to watch his mother being sexually assaulted. There's big power drills and mock executions. And Holder acknowledges the possible fallout from his decision, but has concluded in recent days he has no other choice, which is what we've been saying all along, but to probe whether laws were broken. That's what the Justice Department does, FYI. How about this, Jim? A federal appeals court in one case earlier this month affirmed the assault conviction of one CIA contractor who wielded a metal flashlight against a detainee who died shortly after the beating.
Mm-hmm.
Investigators could not conclusively link his death to the flashlight attack. Yeah, I'm sure that had nothing to do with it, beating about the face and head with
the
metal
flashlight.
The dents
in his head might have had something to do with it.
Yeah, I can see where there wasn't enough evidence there to...
And there would be DNA on the flashlight as well.
Mm-hmm.
So any real investigation could have determined that right quick.
Okay. All right, Eric Holder also announcing the... What exactly is the... he's announced the...
It's a new White House office for CIA or for interrogations that will combine the efforts of the CIA and the FBI.
Okay.
So it brings the FBI into it as well.
Eric Holder.
We will not be doing anything that would endanger the American people or in some ways lessen our national security.
Bill Burton, who is a White House Deputy Press Secretary, talking about that as well.
It'll bring together all the different elements of the intelligence community to get the best intelligence possible based on scientifically proven methods and consistent with the Army field manual.
By the way, it is another subject that we were saying, we've always been saying, is the president playing chess and not checkers, because, of course, he can't be the one to be seen as looking back and being vindictive or whatever the right wing says. Bill Burton.
Well, as the president has said repeatedly, he thinks that we should be looking forward, not backward. He does agree with the Attorney General that anyone who conducted actions that had been sanctioned should not be prosecuted. But ultimately, the decisions on who is investigated and who is prosecuted are up to the Attorney General.
And like Jim said, it's another shiny object to distract the right wing from their health care lies.
Yeah.
All right. Let's skip to Ed Rollins on the Situation Room on the prosecution of a torture.
This is not George Bush's CIA. This is the American CIA, and it's now under President Obama. We still have two wars going on, and I think if there are mistakes made shortly after 9/11, we need to get them behind us and move forward. And I think the end of the day, they're going to find that most of the stuff was authorized by much higher up, both in justice and maybe even in the White House. And to go down and take interrogators or what have you and punish them, I think will create a morale problem in the CIA at a time that we need them to be on alert and moving forward.
I'm sorry, Ed Rollins. Were you admitting that Dick Cheney ordered the code red?
Yeah.
I think that's... Well, all right, then. I think we should open up the investigation even more. Why?
You know what else would cause morale problems? Knowing that there are people in your ranks who are getting away with murder.
Yeah, exactly.
Ordered the code red.
I did the job.
Did you order the code red?
You're
damn right I did!
Mm-hmm. Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
Seems a bit
Charles Krauthammer on the Brit Bear.
Ripper.
You have a new administration, a new wind in the White House, a president who ran against George Bush and who now decides it's a good time to run against him again.
Oh,
and
God.
These interrogators are going to be re-looked after by a special prosecutor, which means unlimited license. And if you think it's going to stop there, it's not.
Mm.
The great white whale here is the lawyers in the White House. These interrogators are going to say, I was just obeying orders. So you're going to go to the White House, and you're going to end up where they want to end up with Cheney, who is the great white whale of this investigation.
Oh, he's Moby Dick Cheney. Hmm. I see. Yeah. As we've pointed out many times, all crime happened in the past.
Yeah, right. So why bother looking at it?
Exactly. Charles
Guy's already dead, so...
Yeah.
Obama is reflexively reacting here. He rose on the back of Bush hatred and resentment and opposition to Bush, and he thinks that when he's in trouble, he reverts to it. I think you're right that in the end it will probably hurt him because people looking at the facts are going to decide that we did what we had to do, and what we're doing now is undermining our ability to interrogate in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Once again, it's another version of terrorists will kill you, you see, if we look at any of the lawbreaking of the
That's
Bush
right.
administration. Uh-huh. All right. President Obama played tennis with his wife and golf with his buddies on Monday, his first day.
Hmm? One of his buddies was an investment bank CEO.
Hmm. And his first day of his vacation.
Yeah.
Won the president's reading list?
Hmm.
The Lush Life. Damn it. That was my title for my book.
That should have been Tom Brokaw's title for his book.
Somebody stole that. Damn it. Let's go to Stephanie in Madison. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Steph.
Hey, guys. I really appreciate the new uplifting theme song, Got the Power. That is awesome.
Thank you.
And Eric Holder should use that when he's going after these guys and take it all the way up to, yes, Cheney and whoever else.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you, because I've been so despondent with the healthcare garbage. But you know what? I've got the power now.
That's right. You heard me. I said,
yeah.
You got that
should
right.
be our new theme song.
I think maybe it should.
It's excellent. Thank
all
you.
All right. Thank you. I may just ditch Katrina in the waves. All right. Robin in Kingston, Washington, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hello, Robin.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you? I'm
good.
Calling in slight opposition or a different idea regarding what Tim Robbins said. I think in the 60s and the 70s, we all got used to these big action events. And I actually will say, give me 400,000 people in groups of four in, you know, 100,000 places across the country in busy street corners and whatever with signs. And I think we will educate the public and get much, much more done and scare the crap out of the corrupted politicians that are supposed to be representing us. It's called civil informationing. It's something new, and it's like old peace vigils, except for you put yourself in the middle of busy places, busy people. You hand out small bits of information, steer them to websites, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
This doesn't involve flyers, does it? Because I'm not.
You can hand out whatever you want. Yeah.
All right.
The information. If somebody walks away with something, they'll probably get onto their computer and look at it and whatever. You'll see.
All right, Robin. If it involves handing out flyers, I'm not.
Computer says no.
You're not good at that. Walk in the neighborhood.
All right.
Especially with your 3-mile-long driveway.
Right. Once again, here is your Republican Party today. Representative Trent Franks, Republican of Arizona.
He's the biggest tool in the world.
Yes. Arch-conservative considering filing a lawsuit to put President Obama on the spot over his birth certificate, or as Tom DeLay calls it, as his gift certificate. Wow.
Will you ask the president to show me his gift certificate?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Your Republican Party, ladies and gentlemen. That's it for us today. I'd like to thank executive producer, engineer, boy toy, Crystal Boy, voice, Dee Dee, Jim Ward, associate producer, Rebecca Baker on phones and drums. See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.